Scripture Memory for All of Life on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. Today on the podcast, I'm delighted to have with me Brian Gaines. He's the pastor of counseling and discipleship at Grace Community Church in Glen Rose, Texas, and he's the director there of Grace Biblical Counseling. Brian and his wife, Laura, have been members of ACBC for nearly 20 years and just recently celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. The Lord's really blessed them with four wonderful children, and the oldest of which just entered into the supervision phase of ACBC certification this past summer, Brian raising them up right, brother. And he is a regular speaker and contributor to the CBCD.org, that's the Center for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship here in North Texas. And he's taught several breakout sessions at our annual conferences in recent years. And Brian and I have a special relationship. He was the associate pastor at Grace Community there in Glen Rose when Summer and I were members at that church for about 4 years. And so, brother, love you and appreciate you and looking forward to our time together today.
Likewise.
As we talk about this issue of scripture memory, sometimes that sounds rigid and an old hat for people and crusty idea, but really the idea that the Lord is giving us to dwell richly on the word. I want you to talk about how we emphasize the authority and sufficiency by the way in which we capture the word of God in our hearts. So talk about this connection and how we internalize the word and how that impacts our daily lives.
Yeah, I think maybe the big picture is as we consider our calling and the purpose for which God created us, obviously he has called us, he has created us for his glory. We see that in passages like 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And that thing kind of begs a couple of questions. How do we do that? And probably even more important is why should we want to do that? And thinking through Paul's words there in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, he talks about for the love of Christ controls or constrains or compels us because one has died for all. And as we think about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see revealed in the scriptures, as we think about the creator of the cosmos coming down to his creation, that he would reconcile us unto himself, fallen sinners, going to the cross, taking the penalty for our sin, clothing us in his righteousness. It's that love of Christ that controls us, that compels us, that constrains us. And then as he says there in verse 15, to no longer live for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died and was raised. And so as Christ was raised from the dead, likewise, in Christ, we are raised to walk in the newness of life, as Paul writes there in Romans 6:4. And this newness of life, what does it look like? And again, we have to go to the scriptures. And Jesus' prayer in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as the word of God calls us to be set apart unto Christ, so then the word of God has to be set apart in our very hearts. And I think we see that connection then between scripture memory and how we live, the knowledge of scripture and how we live. I remember years ago, Dale, you came and you did a family conference for us there in Glen Rose at the Riverbend Retreat Center. And one of the passages that you focused in on was Deuteronomy 6, where the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then just the importance of his word being impressed upon our hearts that as parents, we would then be able to impress the word of God upon our children in whatever we do to bring the word of God to them. And if we're going to be able to bring the word of God to them as we walk along the road, as we lie down, as we get up, as we drive somewhere, whatever we're doing, the word of God has to be treasured up so it's available for our use. And so there's no disconnect between the knowledge of God, his word, and how we live in our conversations. And later in Deuteronomy, a verse that hit me years ago, Deuteronomy 32, I believe it's verse 47, Moses has just recounted the Lord's goodness to them and what he has done, delivering them from slavery, making them his own people. And he is their covenant God. And he says, this word is no empty word for you. It is to be your very life. And we're to be people who are characterized by the word. And that involves then for us to store up that word in our hearts.
Yeah, as Paul says in Colossians, to dwell on this richly. And I love the way that you're describing how when we dwell on it richly, it really starts to dictate how we live, how we think, how we process daily moments that we interact and have experiences. And those experiences then are seen through a grid that is built within us, this word that we've treasured in our heart and the value of it. You start thinking the words of God about your life. You start interpreting your life through that lens of what God has stored up in your heart. This is such a vital piece. I mean, when I'm talking to my students about counseling and them hiding the word in their heart, it is so that they personally won't sin against God. But then they see just how transformative the word of God is. And what often happens is as the word of God has transformed them, when they walk into the counseling room in the depths of the word and they know the word has been able to change them, my goodness, if I have that confidence that the word can change me, he can change anybody. And when we see the word that we're dwelling on to radically change our own life, it becomes something that's vital. So thinking about that vitality of knowing God's words, how it informs our thoughts, how it directs our steps in the ways that we live. Talk about some examples about how having scripture that's memorized proves to be really valuable in the counseling room.
Yeah, there's obviously a lot we could talk about there. Maybe most recently, one that really just brought me back to the goodness of God, the sufficiency of his word is through our church. We have a ministry in Guatemala and we work with a home, and there are some very difficult situations there. 30-something young people, a lot of them with abuse, neglect, just horror stories that are just gut-wrenching. And I found myself that week, most of them not knowing I was going to have these opportunities, but lots of formal counseling with some very hard stories. And as I listened and tried to understand, it was comforting for them and encouraging to me that the word that had been stored up in my heart, as I heard these stories, I knew where to take them because God's word was already there. And so I was able to open up and let them see the truth of God's word, the goodness of God, even in the midst of their suffering and struggles and temptations and trials. I mean, maybe applying that to more specific situations here back home, many of us are parents. And the value of storing up God's word in our own hearts, as well as helping our kids do the same, is huge in our formal and informal counseling that we have with our kids, the discipling of our kids. And one way that I've seen that played out over the years is with all of our kids, we've memorized the 26 verses in my ABC memory book by Susan Hunt. We did that even when they were about a year and a half. And just the number of times over the years where we had the opportunities, if one of our kids would disobey, and I won't pick on anyone in particular, but if one of them would disobey, we could ask, what is the letter C? C, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And just helping them in that moment of their disobedience to go back to what has God called you to? And ultimately right now, what are you worshiping? And is that pleasing to the Lord? And then right out of that, we get into gospel conversations. And so it's not, you did this against me, you've offended me, I'm frustrated because you. It's, let's consider what you're worshiping right now. And the one who is worthy of worship. You know, other situations, examples, there's so many. Anxiety, common temptation, struggle that we all have in various forms. And as we think through passages, God's calling, as we memorize perhaps Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. To not only have that memorized when you tend to be anxious, but to even know the context and to memorize the context of that is huge. You can take somebody, even if you don't have the copies of scripture with you, if you've got it memorized, you can point them to the God who is at hand. The God who has called us, because our names are written in the book of life, to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, Paul says, rejoice. And we can do that then looking to the God, trusting him that he'll grant us the peace that surpasses all understanding. And then we're called to think on those things that are excellent and praiseworthy, and then to practice those things. And so to have that memorized, to meditate upon that for ourselves, is to then be able to counsel those that we work with the sufficiency of the scriptures.
That's so good, brother. And to think, we know we're supposed to hide God's word in our heart. We can see, as you've articulated so well, that the value of us hiding it in our heart for our own lives. And then as the Lord would see fit by his providence, give us opportunity to minister that very same word for the benefit and good of another person. And we can see the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge that we find when we store up God's word in our heart. We can see its protection. We can see its guidance for us in our lives, but yet we still neglect to memorize scripture. And it's so interesting to me about in our country right now, we're fairly literate people. It's not a hard thing for us to pick up the word. So many more difficult things that we do in our life to pick up the word, to read it, to work, to memorize it. And yet it's something that we don't devote ourselves to nearly enough. Talk about some of the hindrances that we have or things that might make a more simple task difficult for us as we think about memorizing the word. What are some of those hindrances?
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. We're people who are prone and quick to make excuses. And scripture memory can be one of those things that's easy to do that with. You know, maybe some of the ones I've heard most frequently is, for instance, I'm too old. You know, as a kid, it was easy to memorize things, but now I'm too old, whatever that age is. And I was really encouraged by this not long ago. We've got an older man in our church who's had a lot of health issues, who suddenly lost his wife about a year ago, who now has cancer. And just ask him, how can I be praying for you? And he says, I know my days are limited. I want to make the best use of time. And part of what that looks like is treasuring up God's word in my heart increasingly. I've gotten out of the pattern, the habit of memorizing God's word. And so just ask me how I'm doing with that. Well, a couple of weeks later, I called him and asked him how he's doing with that. And he pulled out a couple of cards. He had scripture memory verses on about a dozen and quoted them almost perfectly word for word. Here's a guy in his 70s, immense health issues, suffering from having lost his wife and various other things. He wasn't too old. And if it was an excuse for him, then it's not an excuse for most of us. I think other excuses that can easily be made, and I think I heard this from Randy Patton years ago, it's too hard. And Randy came back and countered that with this: scripture memory is not a matter of intellect, but of interest. In other words, it's not that we're incapable of doing it. It's that we really don't value or treasure enough that we'll actually do it. And then building on that, I had a navigator friend who put this scenario before me, and you've probably heard it. You know, if we were to be given in the course of a week, $1,000 for every verse that we were to memorize, how quickly would we be able to gain the ability to memorize scripture? And that's so true. And if we would memorize scripture for $1,000 a verse in the course of a week, isn't there a far greater reward than memorizing scripture than $1,000 per verse? I mean, the Bible itself says that the word of God is more precious than silver and gold. We need it in standing against the evil one. We need it when suffering to remember who God is and his promises. We need it at all times. And so it's not a matter of intellect, but a matter of interest. And perhaps another one that's very common is just too busy. And to that, I would graciously tell, and I have told many counselees, if you're too busy to memorize scripture, then you're absolutely correct. You are too busy. What needs to go? How do you need to reprioritize? How do you make the best use of time?
Yeah, well said. And as we think about ridding ourselves of some of those very common hindrances, but just because they're common don't make them right or don't make them valid excuses, let's talk strategically about how we might can set aside specific ways to renew our minds with the scriptures, to think and meditate and to memorize the scriptures. So just give some practical steps. Brian, you're really good at this kind of stuff. So give us some practical steps that can encourage our listeners in how we can commit scripture to memory and start really using it in our lives. And even for those of us who counsel,
Yeah, I think maybe one of the things that would be most helpful initially is just to think through this paradigm of trying to memorize scripture versus training in memorizing scripture. You know, we think through Paul, 1 Timothy 4, 7-8, talks about train yourself for the purpose of godliness. It's not just try to be more godly, but it's train. Go to whatever effort it takes to accomplish the prize for which you're after. And Brian Hedges did a great job of putting this forth, this aspect of training versus trying in his book, Christ Formed in You. And in there, he used an illustration I thought was really helpful with music. My son, for instance, likes to play the cello. He's very good at the cello. And if he were to ask me to accompany him on a Bach cello piece on the piano, it wouldn't go very well. I used to play the piano. I could maybe play Mary Had a Little Lamb, but to accompany him on a masterpiece like Bach, it just wouldn't happen. I could try as hard as I wanted, but it's not going to happen because I hadn't been training for that. Scripture memory needs to be a process of training, of regularity in our lives as we seek to continually store up God's word in our heart. And so how do we do that? I think a lot of different ways. Number one, what are some verses that we most need to memorize, that we most need to meditate? And I would encourage people to put together a list of who is God? What perfections of God do you need to be encouraged by? Do you need to keep in mind in the midst of your suffering or your temptation? What are the precepts, the callings, the imperatives of Scripture that God has called you to live by, that you need to memorize those, to meditate upon those, that you might then live those out? And so first, just put together a list of Scriptures. And then second, when are you going to do that? Because again, we're all busy and our time is quickly filled up with various things. And so when are we going to do that? Set a time each day, whether you're brushing your teeth, whether perhaps on your commute, you can work on Scripture memory there, whether at the end of your devotional time, whatever that may look like, set a time in which you can do that. And then I think another very helpful component of that is accountability. And you talked about Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's something that's done together, and just encourage each other in that. So if we wanted to run a race and we set a date, we picked a race out, we would probably do better in that race if we got a group of guys to train with us, to encourage us, to meet with us, to push us a little bit more. And when it comes to Scripture memory, oftentimes we can make an excuse not to, but if we know we're going to meet these guys every Friday morning and we know they're going to ask us, what verses have you memorized? We're probably going to be a little more inclined to have memorized that. And so just involving others in the process to encourage us in what we're learning and to help us then to live out those verses to the glory of Christ in all of life.
Yeah, I would add that one thing is, one of the things that have been really helpful to me is, as you think about memorizing passages, go about that particular day, whether it be a promise or a precept, some sort of command, where that day you're working on, you're seeing, okay, God, help me to implement this today. And I find I often memorize better when I see how valuable it is in a given day's time, where, Lord, I needed to call to mind today this promise that I've been working on in memory. And man, it was so perfect today. And it begins to link it to an experience in my life where I see that that was who God really was. And it plays out in your life. And so that word starts to become deeply rooted in you because it was so meaningful in a day's time or a week's time or something like that. And we've done this in our own house where we struggle with certain things. Maybe even, I think often Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome communication proceed from your mouth. I don't know about you guys, but in our household, sometimes with lots of sinners, that's a struggle. Yeah. And okay, guys, how do we practice this? Well, the Lord tells us to put that stuff off. So when we hear unwholesome communication come from our mouth, okay, we're going to pause and we're going to practice what the Lord tells us to do. So we're going to put that off and we're going to put on speaking in ways that are edifying. And then this sort of extra level, I'm going to think about how you're going to hear it. I'm going to bring grace to the one who hears. So how do we speak? Okay, sister or brother, you know, you spoke harshly or wrongly or unwholesomely or corruptingly to your sibling. We're going to pause for a second. And how do you speak a word that's edifying? Tell me three things that you love about them, that you appreciate. That's them hopefully now hiding the word in their heart because they've seen how God has told us to practice these particular things. So learning how to take the word, put it into practice. And what will happen, I think, just exactly what you described, is it starts to create a hunger and a treasure that we start to see, my goodness, this word is so much more valuable and applicable to the minutiae of daily life for us to live in ways that are overcoming in terms of temptation and battles that we might struggle with, or just encouragement and comfort that we need. And it's so important in such critical times. Brother, thank you for modeling that. As I mentioned, you're an associate pastor at a place that we were members for a while. Thank you for modeling that, teaching our people to do that, and then counseling with the beauty of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge found in Christ. So, Brian, thanks for leading us in this discussion. I really appreciate you encouraging us in something that people look at and may even scoff at, but this is such a valuable thing for us to discipline ourselves towards. So thanks for your time, brother.
My pleasure. It's an honor to be here.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. Happy New Year, everyone. I'm so excited that you joined us for this new edition in 2025. We wanted to start this year off right, thinking about memorizing Scripture, getting our focus, our hearts, and our minds back on Scripture memory and how useful it is to hide God's Word in our heart, to dwell upon the Word
And I pray it's been an encouragement to you. I do want to talk about things that are upcoming in this year, 2025. We'll be exhibiting in several locations. We'll probably be in a location near you. We would love to meet you in person as we exhibit at conferences around the country. And so whether you're attending some sort of conference, a training event, or another gathering that we might be at, you'll see a full list of our exhibiting locations when you visit our website. Or you can look in the show notes. We'll have the link to our exhibiting schedule. We would love to meet you in person. Often we're doing giveaways at these conferences and training sites, and we would love to say hello, give you a gift in person. In order to find that schedule, you can visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.